would you please all stand now as for Kennard's Hire, we do the sports update and you can all say these words. Kenneth.
On Breakfast with Vossie, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
I just got to check the calendar, Michelle. Good morning to you. First of all, no, before I do that.
Ken Oath, good morning.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Just get in with it. Just fire away. I think you knew what I was going to ask you. Ken Oath Hire makes your job easy. Call your local branch today. It's November 25, is it not? That means summer is under a week away from starting, yet I could devote the entire program right now to rugby league-related stories. What the hell's going on?
Keeps on giving.
Yes.
It is crazy stuff. And I suppose the fact that we've got a couple of NRL players involved in boxing too takes up a couple of more pages. But, yeah, absolutely. It is crazy, crazy, crazy times.
Any crazier than the lady I read about in the top of the show that is given up on men and is now dating aliens and, in fact, had an encounter with an alien. She was picked up on a spaceship. I've never heard of the actress. Abby Beeler. She dreamt it and then it came true. The flying saucer took her in and she's fallen for she's into interspecies dating.
Not given up on men. There's always hope.
Okay, yeah, I think that's pretty sexist, actually.
You're just looking in the wrong places, love. And you're not going to find it in space or wherever you've gone.
What's that little green guy with the seven eyes got that I haven't got? No, it's serious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't actually know what the answer to that. And you, Dave-O, who's out there, sends in a text. I don't want to know about the rare species of alien called the Schlong monsters. I don't want to know about them, okay? I don't need to know about them. Now, Josh Alloyer getting COVID and Manly. I mean, first of all, Paul Gallen wants to know, is it real? Michelle, do you know, have we cited anything? Paul Gallen said the fight was never going to go ahead or he had a feeling that it wouldn't. So do we know that it's real? That's the first thing I need to know.
Would they be a pretty game lot to come up with something as creative as this, I guess? And it's, you know, it's serious in the current environment. I guess he'd possibly be charged because you can't be telling people you've got COVID if you haven't. We've seen, you know, examples of that just in the workplace. But, look, they've been fighting and bickering and it's been, you know, a drama-charged lead up to this fight anyway. Obviously, Paul Gallen's going to come out with something like this. He was desperate for this fight. I mean, I think I read somewhere yesterday that if he doesn't fight, he doesn't get paid. And, you know, emotionally for him, he'd be completely up for this. And you know, he's been targeting this December 10 date. It's caused a whole heap of problems on a whole load of fronts. I mean, first of all, the big stir with the NRL, and it, you know, they've been sort of COVID free up until now, and it was the first NRL player to test positive, and that sent Manly into a bit of a spin. But they've got all their protocols and things in place. He'd been sparring with Joey Leilua, who was due to fight Chris Hyington on the same night, and then that obviously caused concern for the West Tigers because Joey Leilua is Luciano Leilua's brother, but. There doesn't appear to be any problems there for the West Tigers.
I know it's not incredibly important because Joey doesn't have the NRL deal. Now, we know that Josh Alloyer was fully vaccinated. Just by the by, do we know if Joey Leilua was vaccinated?
I actually don't know that. I don't know that at all.
You know what people are thinking. They're thinking, no, he's not. That would be very Joey. And he may have his reasons. He has his reasons, but there you go. And he signed with Featherston Rovers, so now he's their problem, so to speak.
Absolutely. But one thing I did want to point out with this is that Josh has obviously come out and spoken and said, yes, that he's double vax, but and he's hoping that it kind of takes the edge off the illness because he's, you know, he quoted, I am pretty crook. This is a shocker. And, you know, we've still got 9 or 10 unvaccinated players. The NRL's confident that that will dwindle all the way down to about 5 before the competition starts. But if someone, you know, is healthy as what he is and double vaxxed and it's knocking him about the way it is, you know, maybe we will see that those numbers come down a little bit quicker.
What about, is there any possible opponent for Paul Gallen or that's it? There's nothing in the wind. I mean, obviously you couldn't have a Joey Leilua step up or Chris Hyington, who were fighting on the undercut. I don't think they're ready to take on Paul Gallen. So there's no one out there. There's
not hearing anything at the moment. If any of our callers want to, give us a call and maybe step in the ring. But look, in terms of what I do,
that's a hell of an invitation. You want to fight Paul Gallen? Maybe 100K. Give us a call. We'll tee it up for you.
What I will say is though, Paul's absolutely right when it comes to the whole situation. I think that'll unfold now with Manly, and that is, Manly's got a competition to win. Their priorities, obviously, Josh being a part of that NRL squad, getting himself right first of all. But they won't have time to be organising, boxing nights moving forward. Josh's responsibility now has to fall back into, the Manly team and obviously forging ahead for 2022. So I can't see that fight going ahead.
Okay, you open the can of war passes, giving me the idea. My head goes to funny places. I am going to find Paul Gallen's opponent from our listeners, a potential opponent. I need listeners. All right, where are you, Martin, or our regular listeners? You got to write your credentials. Why should you be considered to fight Paul Gallen? Give us your weight, your record. Give us some fighting words. If you want to come on and send a message out to Paul Gallen, throw down the gauntlet. You can run, but you can't hide, Paul. Just issue a challenge to Paul Gallen on air this morning on the program, and I'll give you, I can't give you the $100,000 purse, but I'll give you a $50 FPOS gift card. That's a pretty good start. That's a little incentive to come on and put forward your credentials to fight Paul Gallen. 1-300-01-1170. He needs an opponent. You can text 0457-736-736.
Yesterday, I was all pumped, ready to step in the ring. She was in my weight division, Arabella Del Busso. When I got off air, my son said, "Mum, you're kidding yourself." So that put that to bed rather quickly. I was all confident, thinking I can do this after what's gone on. Yep, I'll do. I'll take one for the nation.
So what's her name again? Just write it down. Arabella Del Busso.
There's a couple. Arabella Del Busso is how she likes to be.
That it's sort of similar to this nut job in the UK. The actress Abby Beeler. It's a little bit similar. Abby Beeler. Mm. Arabella Del Busso.
Crazy.
That's amazing. We're the other species. Nick Chotrich, gone. Is he gone from Canterbury? You read between the lines, he is gone. It's gone already. He's on his way out.
Bit of background, and I sort of did know a little bit about some of this yesterday. That's when Wild Panther called up, because he was on the money. I just couldn't, reveal a great deal. He's been linked to a few clubs, West Tigers to Parramatta. Parramatta were, really keen at one stage. But this whole discussion of him moving back to the Raiders, which says a lot about his character, because obviously Ricky would be have open arms welcoming back there. And look, he was doing so well when he was playing. I don't know whether the change of environment or what was going on, because back in 2019, we're talking, in that New South Wales squad, obviously in the Australian team. So I don't know where it all sort of fell apart. But it was all reliant upon the one move with Josh Hodgson. Obviously, the Raiders, like everybody else, have salary cap issues. And if Josh Hodgson was to make that shift to the West Tigers, that would have freed up some space in the cap for Kotrick to make that return to Canberra. But that's not happening. Josh Hodgson has... the West Tigers couldn't come up with the money that Josh Hodgson was after to make that move. So he's indicated to the Raiders yesterday that he'll be staying put. So, again, it's that whole domino effect, and one move that doesn't go in the way that, someone needs it to can just make everything else sort of settle or unfold in a different way. So I can't see that happening. I don't believe they've got the money at the moment. But I do know that, that the Kotrick is obviously, on the lookout, both parties. And again, this is nothing to do with his personality. It's probably the roster situation at the Bulldogs and the money that he's on. I don't think he's staying put it that way.
Okay. Now, we've got so much more to talk about. Lucky we've got two more sports updates to go. So 7:30, 8:30, we'll cover a little bit of news out of Cricket Australia. Well, there's a lot of news out of Cricket Australia. Good questions from our listeners. When on earth are they going to name the captain? Why haven't they done it? Are they still doing background checks? Chookman says it'll get the focus off Sextgate. So just name the new captain. The Chookman's demanding it. And we'll also talk about the situation with the Chinese tennis player and the Winter Olympics and all those sorts of things. So there's some bigger issues to talk about later in the morning. You've taken the Ken Oath, which is just brilliant. And Kennard's Hire makes your job easy. Talk to someone who has taken the Ken Oath today. Kennard's Hire, my favourite store on earth. Just walking in, as I say, just hang around the joint just to look cool. Michelle, talk to you at 7:30.
Look forward to it.
Now, we've been talking a lot of golf on the program this week. We've got the seniors PGA out at Richmond. You can get out there today, 3-round event. If you're not aware, I mean, this is the kickstart. This is getting back to normal. The first of six tournaments in the New South Wales Open Regional Series is the Murray Open at the Murray Downs Golf and Country Club. We will let you know that here on the SEN app, you can stream the Murray Open. It is also on newsouthwales.com or the SEN app, so you can certainly follow the progress. One of the pros in action is Matt Griffin, very well credentialed, a former New Zealand Open winner. He's had great success in Asia. I'm very happy to say he's on the line early morning to come on the program. Matt, much appreciated. How are you doing?
Very good, thanks, Lossie.
What a beautiful part of the world to be in too, to ply your trade today.
It is lovely, yeah. There's been a bit of weather around, but we've been quite lucky and avoided it so far. And yeah, it's nice to get out of the city and see a bit of the country.
So hang on a second. Are you on the New South Wales or the Victorian side of the border here?
We're on the New South Wales side of the border.
Of course you are. Yes. But very close to both. Just on this, and what you've been through over the last 18 months, 2 years, I mean, how disruptive has it been? How tough has it been to work on your game?
Oh, it's been extremely difficult. And I basically finished the 2019 season up in Japan and was playing the best golf of my career. And then the music stopped at middle of March of 2020, and it's barely started since then. So we're hoping now that the country's opening up and the world again, that life will go back to what we knew it was pre the pandemic.
Now, 50,000 prize pool up for grabs here, a couple of rounds, and obviously you've just got to come out of the blocks in this. You can't just ease your way in such an event.
No, yes, we're such a good field here. It's going to be all about making birdies and not too much playing safe. So, and it's a great opportunity with these events to play some with elite company and really get our teeth into some competition and build up for the PGA events that start in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, as I said at the top in the intro, things are getting back to normal. And we will have an Australian PGA after Christmas and those sorts of things. And it's a year to be inspired. I mean, there's been some terrific efforts, haven't there, overseas? I mean, Lucas Herbert has been fantastic. There's been others to really be motivated by.
It has, yeah. You look at Lucas and Minwoo Lee, they're both sort of knocking on the door of the world top 50. And they've, really leapt forward the last couple of years. So I know there's a lot of other young guys here that have been stuck in Australia that are keen to follow in their footsteps.
All right, Matt. Well, all the best to you over the start of this. As I say, it's a six tournament series, the New South Wales Open Regional Series. We'll be looking out for your name. Thank you for coming on the program so early.
Thanks for having us, Lossie.
Yeah, good man. Matt Griffin there. The Murray Open starting today, 36 holes. And as I say, it is the New South Wales Open Regional Series. And you can stream the Murray Open on the newsouthwalesopen.com site or the SEN app.
And now, on 1170 SEN Breakfast, Vossie's verdict.
My verdict this morning, cricket fans get excited. Not about the Ashes, and you've got good reason to be excited about that. I want to tell you this story. Now, I've followed cricket all my life, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in Australia, whilst we all like a good fast bowler, we, you know, reveled in Tomo knocking the stumps out of the ground, Dennis Lilly, Brett Lee, I reckon we love leg spinners more. It's in our DNA. It's the craft. It's the bowling style that intrigues us most, and done well is absolutely compelling viewing. Obviously, watching Shane Warne at his best is exhibit A, B, and C. But I have in my time great memories. As a kid, I used to wag school to go along and watch Sheffield Shield matches and loved it and got away with it. My mum didn't know. But watching Bob Holland, what a craftsman. You know, the art of leg spin bowling. Jim Higgs was another favourite with the leg spinners. And then you'd go down the nets and you'd try and do the same. You know, and you'd this unnatural action of flipping the wrist over and working on the ball and trying to get the ball to go away and then produce a wrong. A good leg spinner has great influence. Well, let me tell you, there are some great signs for leg spinners in this country based on the achievements yesterday in both women's and men's cricket. If you'd never heard of Amanda Jane Wellington before yesterday or haven't known what she's achieved, you need to hear this story. Playing for the Adelaide Strikers against the Brisbane Heat, She returned the best ever figures in the history of the WBBL. 5 for 8 off 4 overs. Incredibly, she bowled 18 dot balls across those 4 overs. That's the equivalent of 3 overs with no runs off her. The match report used the word mesmerising to describe the performance. She was virtually unplayable. By the way, in this 24-year-old's record so far, it's interesting to note that when she made her international debut with Australia back in 2016, she took a wicket with her very first ball, the South African captain, no less. So there's some credentials there, some serious credentials. So follow closely the progress of Amanda Jane Wellington. And on the men's front, good judges will tell you that 19-year-old Tanvir Sanger has amazing potential, and that potential is now being realised. 7 wickets in a couple of Shield matches against Victoria, and then yesterday in the Marsh Cup, so we're talking the 50-over game, he had the figures of 4 for 21 from 7.1 overs. Absolutely ripped through Victoria's middle and lower orders. It's his best figures in New South Wales colours. He's done it at 19 years of age. I will quote the Blues coach Phil Jakes on this one. He said any 19-year-old leg spinner would love to land it like he does. In fact, I think a lot of 30 and 40-year-old leg spinners that have been around the traps would like to land it like he does as well. His control has been great since he's been on the first-class scene. Keep following this bloke. And as I say, we love leg spinners. We've got a couple of young ones there. The men's game, it's Tanvir Sanger. The women's, Amanda Jane Wellington. It is great news for Australian cricket.
Vossie's verdict.
And like in the case of Tanvir, if he takes off, you watch at the local park, the number of kids doing leg spin in the nets, the influence will be great. Absolutely thrilled that he's finding his way now for New South Wales. In fact, I'll bring in our next guest on that conversation. Love of leg spin bowlers. Wasn't going to talk leg spin with Jared Waitley. SEN in Melbourne getting ready for his program between 9 and 12 this morning. But I think I have licence to say it's a real love of Australian cricket fans. We love watching good leg spin bowlers in action. We may just have a real good one here in this 19-year-old.
I'd endorse all of what you've just said, Vossie. I was in and out of that WBBL match last night, so I saw a couple of those wickets, and then when you tied it all together in the highlights at the end, it was captivating. It was every bit of mesmerising. And yeah, there's always been the steady search, hasn't there, in the post-Warn era. Would it have the effect that you mentioned? So we all went and tried it down in the nets, but would one or two come through to pick up the mantle? And in a way, we still wait. Nathan Lyon has filled the breach after a really choppy period where spinners were in and out and would last one or two games, but they could never measure up to what Australia had witnessed. And when you think back to those, when Warne was bowling, you couldn't leave the TV, and he would bowl for hours on end. It's just about the best time of my cricket viewing life, I think, those years with Shane Warne.
Well said. Yeah, look, I remember, like, you remember having chats with Ian Healy. It'd be like it'd be the last ball before lunch, and they'd pull it up, and they'd have a discussion, and you'd just say, "Oh, what's he up to? What's this going to be?" The batsman must have been sweating bullets. I mean, yeah, great stuff. But I go back further, as I said, wagging school, going along to the SCG, watching Bob Holland, and Graham Beard was at the other end. We had two spinners, mate. They would bowl unchanged for the entire session. They would go for about 1.5 runs and over. But Bob Holland, you'd make sure you got behind the bowler's arm and be able to watch. And as I said, then you'd go off and you'd be during the lunch break, you'd be bowling in the aisles of the SCG, trying to make the ball go away, like Dutchie Holland did. No, anyway, that's not what I wanted to get you on today. See, I'm putting all the pressure on you, Jared. I am making you basically Judge Judy now on Australian Test cricket. You are going to answer all the big questions, and we're going to lock this in. So
right.
First up. And I've loved your coverage, and those listening on the SEN app, you have covered the Tim Payne fallout from absolutely every angle. So you've had to sit in your chair and digest all that sort of opinion that has come in and opinion of listeners. So, you know, great barometer there. Tim Payne, do you think Australia wants him in the test side? The majority want him in the test side? And do you think he should be in the test side?
So the easier one to answer is my view. I think he is Australia's incumbent wicketkeeper. And as long as he meets these measures across the next 2 weeks,
His keeping looked in really great shape on the first day of cricket that he'd played since April. His batting never got off the ground, but that can happen. So I'm less phased about the batting and more about the wicket keeping. So I have to take my cues at the moment from the original investigation, which found that he hadn't breached the code of conduct and he was a fit and proper person both to be an Australian cricketer and an Australian captain. Now, that is a source of debate, but without reading the integrity report, it's difficult to second guess. And it has been really interesting to see that the current leaders of the sport have second guessed without any change to the facts from the time. So I don't feel we are fully informed. I don't know whether it's a majority. I think there's a large group of people who sort of see the injustice in Payne's career being ended in such circumstances. But then there is a sense of decency which has clearly been offended and affronted. And that's right. The most vivid text I've got through the week was once you send this pick, you forfeit your right to play. And I think that would chime pretty strongly. So I think there is a mixed view in the Australian cricketing public. And I think there are those who will be offended if he is out on the field in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's a great text that you had. We had something similar yesterday, just saying, look, Tim Payne has to own none of this fallout. You can say it's wrong, I'm being retired. No, well, if you didn't do it in the first place, this is consequences because of actions that were absolutely gobsmacking, absolutely ridiculous. 32-year-old man, 1 hour before a test match started. I mean, it's all bizarre, or some of the elements of it. Now, let's move on from that. Pat Cummins, captain. But now big issue, Steve Smith. I mean, we're talking about scandal. Steve Smith, it appears, the letters VC may be next to the name. What's your leadership team now of the Australian team, Jared?
Yeah, I am comfortable with Cummins as captain and Smith as vice-captain. So, again, there's sort of there's the measure of double jeopardy and there's the measure of fairness. Is Smith has been punished for what happened in South Africa? He served his year suspension and then he served a subsequent year from any leadership position within Australian cricket. But he was always given the path back. That was left there for him and it's his to walk. Having seen the way that he's conducted himself off the field, and he has owned his behaviour and he's tried to pass on the lessons that he's learnt to young men in really confronting ways, I think. So I do believe he's earned the right to consideration for leadership. I can't see him as captain because it's too divisive. Is you can't have a figure in charge in that office that half of the country feels uncomfortable with. So while there is the possibility that he'll captain Australia in certain circumstances if Pat Cummins is not there, I can't have him as the permanent captain, but I can absolutely have him now as the vice captain. And I think for Cummins to have someone who has lived the job, that strikes me as a good team. It's a better team, I think, than having Labuschagne come in as vice captain now. That's a futures project, or Khawaja at the end on his way back into the team. I think he's the most natural vice captain in the team, and I think if he commits to it with no ambition to the top job under Cummins, they can really make that work.
You're doing well, Judge Judy. You are reaching solid verdicts here. Payne is in, Cummins is captain, Smith is vice-captain. You mentioned Labuschagne there, by the way, 110 yesterday for Queensland. But in that same match, I mean, the shootout. Now I need a quick answer on this one. If it really was, I mean, Khawaja v. Head, they've both failed yesterday, single figures, 4 and 8. Who's in that spot, Khawaja or Head?
So I think Head is in the spot in the Australian lineup. I think that's where they're going. I personally would pick Khawaja at the start of the series. I think his body of work across this summer so far, to me, it appeals more than Head's. And I think at the start of the series, Head has had these chances before to solidify 5 and he hasn't been able to do it. Khawaja has typically opened or bat 3. I just feel like he's more bankable in Brisbane and Adelaide in the first 2 tests. And Australia needs to get off to a winning start. So I reckon they picked this team a while ago and then built the squad around it, and I reckon heads at five, but personally, I would pick Kawaja.
That's almost hung jury, the last one.
My opinion,
we can live with Kawaja,
but I think we'll get there and it'll be head.
Jared, Judge, Judy, Waitley, good luck with your program today. I'm sure you're going to get plenty more. By the way, we never got round to talking about three-minute toilet breaks and what's going to happen at the Australian Open, that you've snubbed that idea. But anyway, we'll explore that next week. Have a great show. Thanks for coming on. Great opinion today.
Cheers, Vossi.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi, the back page with Michael Carayannis. Thanks to Harley Heaven, the home of Harley Davidson in Sydney.
Yeah, riding his Harley into town like Brad Fittler will be doing next week on his tour of New South Wales. Michael Carayannis from The Telegraph. Paul Gallen wants to know, we all do, Josh Alloyer, can you confirm, does he actually have COVID or is he running? Is he hiding from the fight?
Good morning, Vossi. Well, I don't know for sure, but, you know, I've spoken to Josh a few times over the last couple of years, and I wouldn't call him a liar, mate. So I'm going to back him in to say that he does have COVID. And, it's a bit of drama considering, you know, Joey Leilua as well has reportedly got COVID as well. So, a little bit of drama heading into, well, the cancellation of the fight.
What you're basically saying is, say, Paul Gallen's just shit-stirring. He's pretty much the summation.
He's very good at it.
He's a master at it. And the fight's off. Hey, listen, now, the Bulldogs salary cap story, can I line up the Bulldogs to Canberra? Because I've got Canberra fans texting me now saying, what the hell's going on? What, we can't afford Jotrich in our salary cap, but the Bulldogs have him on their salary cap right now and have signed 10 players. I mean, Canberra can't do the sums, and I can't do the sums either.
Yeah, it does get a little bit confusing. That's probably why Viliami Kikau's contract hasn't been announced yet, despite that being agreed to last week. But look, the Bulldogs don't want to let Chotrich go. They've shot Corey Allen, they've shot Kyle Flanagan. Obviously, there was a talk a couple of months ago about Luke Thompson as well, but they haven't been able to sell those guys, and they know that some club, or a club like the Raiders, will pick up Chotrich. So he becomes on the chopping block just because he's sellable. But you're right, the salary cap's interesting in terms of what the Raiders can and can't afford, where the Bulldogs have signed these guys. So the Bulldogs are under the cap for next year. It's not so much 22, that's the problem. It's 23 is the big problem for Canterbury. 24, it opens up a little bit, but again, for 23, that's where the big problem is. So they need to move some players now to clear up that space for 23. They're okay for 22.
Okay, and now on Luciano Leilua, do we just take it? That's a given. And there are suggestions here from some of our listeners. Mick says, you know, the Tigers would be mad to keep him. There's obviously bitterness there. They should just release him today. And I know that's not perfect. That's not the way it should work. But in this case, you got rid of the brother. Now this one wants to go. How do you possibly keep him? Yes, gun being held to your head, but you've got to let him go, don't you?
Well, it's interesting because Luciano Leilua's relationship with Michael Maguire is very tight. It's more the Tigers management that Luciano's frustrated with rather than the coach. When there was all the indecision around the coach, he was one of Michael Maguire's biggest supporters, regardless of what's happened with Joey and the fallout, the very public fallout between Joey and Michael Maguire. But, if I'm the Tigers, I'm probably trying to move him on as soon as I can as well and get him to North Queensland.
All right, Michael, thank you for that, covering some of the stories that are in The Telegraph today. You can read them in The Telegraph, the hard copy, or go online. Michael, you are the best. Ride your Harley off into the distance, my friend.
Yes, thank you, Andrew.
Great to have Adam Zampa in the blue colours on Australian soil playing yesterday, and a fair contribution as well, 2 for 44 off his 8 overs in the victory by New South Wales. Look, I made the statement earlier. I don't believe, and have been backed up by our listeners as well, that have sent through messages saying there's nothing to doubt here. Australia don't win the T20 World Cup without the efforts, the consistent efforts of Adam Zampa through the tournament. 1-5 wicket haul, but it's not about that. It's about economy. It's about being man for the moment, handling pressure. And he did all of that. He was absolutely rock solid. I'm delighted to say he's on the line right now after that Marsh Cup yesterday. So really appreciative of his time. Adam, welcome to Breakfast with Vossi.
Thanks, Vossi. How are you, mate?
No, really. Well done yesterday too. I said that, look, we've been frustrated back here while you've been at the T20 World Cup. Victoria, you know, beating New South Wales or a draw. We had Peter Neville on last week. He's sick of it. You know, it was nice to get a victory over Victoria yesterday.
Yeah, mate, pretty convincing one in the end too. The boys played pretty well. We put up a pretty big total. I think the fourth highest total ever. So, and then, yeah, backed up with the bowling. So it was, yeah, pretty good effort.
Now, okay, let's just go back a little bit. We have to talk about T20 World Cup. In your career, and your performances, and I hope you're not too humble to admit, I mean, you were just cool under pressure. I mean, you were at the peak of your powers, it would seem. You must be thrilled with what you contributed to the team performance and indeed what the team achieved.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, great feeling, obviously, to be holding up that trophy at the end and to feel like I could contribute. And I've been feel like I've been preparing for this World Cup for quite a while now and been looking forward to it. It's been in the pipeline for some time. We haven't had one for 5 years. So, yeah, it was a bloody good feeling.
Beautifully put. Within the group, and I have spoken, this time last week, spoke to Pat Cummins, within the group there was this resolve and confidence. But now that the dust has settled, can you be honest, did you really think that was going to happen?
We, there's obviously quite a few reports on the team, and there's a lot about our last seven series before this one, our form going into the World Cup, I guess, but... Once our 15 was selected, it was as good as anyone's. Obviously, to win the World Cup, you need a bit of luck and you need to win big moments. That's exactly what we did. Like, obviously, we had quite a bit of luck with the toss, but also won really key moments, especially in the last few games. So, not a surprise. I feel like, as I said to you, our squad was as strong as anyone's.
Mm. Your own bowling... as I said, man for the moment, cool under pressure. I mean, they're all consistent, solid contributions. In the final, one for 26 against Pakistan, one for 22. You're good against South Africa, two for 12 against Sri Lanka. There was a five for against Bangladesh. But it's a curious one. I did a verdict earlier talking about our love of leg spin bowling, but in the T20 format, it's sink or swim for you. It's four overs. It's almost all or nothing. And you mightn't get even back-to-back overs. You might have one over, then a few overs off. Do you love it? Like, the challenge of it, each and every game is new. Do you love it?
I do love it, yeah. It's an intriguing way to look at it. Like, T20 cricket, it's very tactical. So, you know, it's really important to do a lot of preparation, have as much information on the opposition batsman that you possibly can. And then, you know, you try and work it out in game time, what you're going to do, whether or not you're going to defend or attack, and how you're going to go about bowling to each batsman. So it's not just go out there, bowl leg spin and bowl wrong-uns and hope. There's definitely a lot more that goes into it than you would probably see. And I think the more of those little things that you can do, it gives you less chance of sinking, I guess. You swim a little bit more often.
Look, I might tap into that a little more, because I said in my verdict, I took the licence, and I speak from personal experience going way back. I mean, I used to wag school and go along and watch Bob Holland bowl, and you know, loved it. And he was with Graham Beard and all these spinners that New South Wales had on a turning SCG wicket. And that would then get you going down the park trying to do it. Now, obviously, Shane Warne had enormous influence. I think leg spin bowling is something every kid tries. Boy or girl will try when we have good ones to watch. And what Tanvi did yesterday, Amanda Jane Wellington, if you're not aware, incredible figures. Your craft, in one over, would you bowl six different balls? Like six different types of deliveries?
It's definitely no ball, particularly in T20 cricket. Definitely no ball the same in one over. Yeah, it's pretty crafty. Like, you'll bowl different versions of leg spin and different versions of sliders, and obviously the wrong one as well. So, yeah, you got to, particularly in T20 cricket, you can't really be predictable. You can't bowl the same line and length every ball, which is what is needed in, obviously, the longer formats. But, yeah, T20 cricket's definitely a little bit different. And I can't remember an over where I bowled the same ball twice for a long time.
Adam Zampa, my special guest here on Breakfast with Vossie. Now, your success in the shortened form of the game, Adam, may I say possibly to the detriment of your recognition in the longer form of the game, but is that still something that's burning inside you? At 29 years of age, you've got many years ahead of you. We love a leg spinner, Adam. Are you ready to step up? Do you know, getting more opportunities?
Yeah, I guess you've got Mitchell Swepson, who's been bowling really well in Sheffield Shield, and who's next in line after Nathan, which is, you know, absolutely fair enough. And he's a great man and I think a very impressive bowler too. So obviously he's standing in my way a little bit. But, you know, if there's a subcontinent tour coming up and they want the best spinners in the country, I'll definitely be pushing my name forward. You know, it's the same message I'll always push is that, you know, particularly in the last 3 years when I've actually been at the top of my game, I haven't played any Sheffield Shield cricket, so there's nothing to really go by, obviously. My numbers will say that I'm not ready to play Test cricket, but you're looking at numbers from me being 21 to 25 years old, and I'm not even the same person or cricketer as I was back then. So, you know, in terms of Test cricket and having that burning desire, it's definitely still there. And, you know, it's difficult, but, you know, I feel like my best way into that team is to just keep doing what I'm doing in white ball cricket. You know, if you want someone that can bowl under pressure and has done it at an international level, then it's me. So, you know, if the Sheffield Shield opportunities come up, I'm definitely going to put my hand up. But as you've seen in the last few years, it's been really difficult to get any game time.
Yeah, it's like look back in the day. I mean, it was always, you know, you'd get the fourth and fifth tests, and there'd always be two spinners played in Sydney, and you'd more often than not two spinners. I think, you know, a great time was when we had Tim May and Shane Warne. You know, you had the two spinners in the side. You'd love a return to those days, and have Nathan Lyon and either yourself or Mitch Swepson there. Adam, just one other one, just on leg spin as well. I was thinking while we're chatting, I'm right in saying you were from South Coast of New South Wales originally, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so when you practice your craft, and like, and parents listening now, you take your kids down the nets, but you're not getting the chance to bowl on turf. And it's quite an experience when you're a young fella, you know, it's the biggest thrill of your life. When was the first time you actually got to play on turf wickets and ply your craft?
We were pretty lucky on the South Coast, actually. I remember being 10 years old when I played my first game on turf.
Yeah.
It was like a South Coast versus Goulburn, Crookwell. I remember it.
Beautiful.
I think it smacked 50, actually.
Of course you did, yes. I'll Google it now.
I was bowling big in-swingers, though. Didn't know how to bowl leg spin back then, but, yeah, we were pretty lucky back then. We played quite a bit of turf cricket from a young age.
Yeah, all right. So just the final tip, just on that, because I just think you're a master of what you do, and, you know, shortened form of the game has great influence on young players. So, you know, they're wanting to learn and know. What's your best advice then? Because is it the nets? Is it trying to get access to turf wickets early? You know, if a parent's got a young bowler who's taking an interest and showing a bit of potential, what's the best way to go about it?
You have to have support, obviously. You know, every kid will want to play footy, want to play cricket. And sometimes it's tough if you don't have that support. Like, I was really lucky to have my parents that would do anything for my cricket when I was a young guy. So, yeah, like, I experimented a lot. Obviously, I fell in love with the game from a young age. I tried to bowl fast, tried to bat right-handed, left-handed, bowl leg spin, and I really just enjoyed it from a young age. And as I said, yeah, that support was really, really important.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to try things with the ball in hand, you know, just work on some different deliveries. If it doesn't work, you just stick at it and see what comes up, you know, and add it to your armoury. Is that correct?
Yeah, as I said, yeah, my dad used to pull me aside after a game of cricket and say, can you at least just try a bowl, two balls in a row with the same bowling action? Stop trying to bowl like Brett Lee one ball, stop trying to bowl like Jason Gillespie the next. And then finally got to a point where Dad was like, you're not going to be big enough to bowl fast anyway, mate, so you may as well try and bowl some leg spin.
That's a great story, Adam. I really appreciate you coming on the program because you did only play yesterday. Great to have you back on Australian soil. You've gone through, hopefully, the last quarantine for a while, and you can get on with it now. And all the very best for the summer. And who knows? I mean, onwards and upwards. 29 years of age, never been in better form. Let's hope you get recognised across all forms of cricket.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Bossy. Good on you, mate.